Welcome back. You're listening to a new episode of Crystal Ball Clarity of It All podcast, and I'm your host, Crystal Fox. This week's guest is Joe Borovica. He is a father, husband, and certified self-protection instructor. Joe is dedicated to helping you move through the fear, show up fully, and find freedom for becoming safer sooner. So please help me in welcoming Joe to Crystal Ball Clarity of It All podcast. Thank you, Joe, for coming on. I know it's, again, been a long time coming. I would love for you to really share what you do. Like, what do you do right now?
Thank you, Crystal. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I've listened to a couple episodes, and I really like what you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is good energy into the world. That's what we need more of. So what is it that I do? I help primarily female businesswomen feel safe and be safe no matter where they are in the world and no matter what they're doing. In short, that's it. I do teach kids. I do teach families, primarily business women, and the world needs more of it for sure.
Definitely. And that is also why I wanted to have you on, because I am someone who has been in quite a few different situations, whether it's been just by myself or with past boyfriends and stuff, that I wasn't safe. And I know there are a lot of women who have experienced that. And I think this is such a good topic to bring to the show that we haven't had before. And I really want to ask you, what led you to even helping women and staying safer?
That's a great question. I should say I do have a background in combat sports and martial arts, but where I got started with true self-protection, with true self-defense, it really wasn't martial arts. I was studying and I was even teaching the art that I was in at the time. But when I was a teenager, a friend and I were out in the mountains. It was the second summer that we had done this. And he made some decisions that resulted in us being separated. And he went missing. It took me hours to find him. And when I did, it was obvious that something was very, very wrong. He was obviously broken, for lack of a better word. And Crystal, I'm 15 years old. I didn't know what to do. Yeah, I'm in the mountains, a good hour's walk from anyone else, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And I am not trained for this. And I'm looking at my buddy and the world goes, you know, gray, it goes black and white. And my heart sinks down into my insides. And I've got that, you know, that fear feeling that we all get. And what do? Do I stay there and just be with him during his last moments? Because it really was that bad. Wow. Do I leave him in hopes of getting help? And isn't going to met.
Can I ask that? Did he fall? Or
yeah, he did. Yeah.
Like,
he fell a long way.
Okay. So a very long fall. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
So this isn't a first aid seminar. So I could go into, you know, lessons learned there and things, you know, and I knew enough that I couldn't move him. Right.
Yeah.
So that was something. And notice that this doesn't have to, you know, what I'm describing here isn't a mugging. You know, but what does it have in common with your question? Mm-hmm. That sinking feeling of, I don't know what to do. I've never been here before. I am frozen. You know, that I am frozen by fear feeling. Not a fun feeling, right?
Not at all. And I typically freeze. I'm like the freeze versus running. I just like
clam
up.
So later on, I understood how I did this. At the time, I didn't understand. But I made a decision there in that gray, black and white sort of place. Something clicked. And I said, I've got to do what's important. I've got to help my friend. And I made a decision. Long story short, I, and then we, because I put together a team, We got a helicopter in to where he was. He actually died in the helicopter, came back in the helicopter.
Whoo, you just took me through a loop.
Right.
Oh, you just took me down for a second. Okay. I thought he was gone.
And he's still alive today. So huge success. It was later that I realized there's a system for this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can be taught how to use, for lack of a better term, fear as fuel. So I did listen to a recent episode of yours. I think it was with Maureen, and she was talking about fear and how it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's natural. You know, we all have it. It serves, you know, some good purposes, but it can also freeze us. It's like too much of a good thing, right?
Yep.
Can we use it as fuel? Absolutely, we can. And it was later on that a mentor, actually the guy that taught me how to teach self-protection, mm-hmm. Here's a quote. You can't be courageous if you're not afraid. Right?
I never thought about it like that either. I really never have. I've always I think of courageous as like this lion, but at the same time, mm-hmm. like you do. Ooh, right? That's a good share. Thank you. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. That is an ingredient. An essential ingredient to being brave is being scared. Otherwise, you're just going about your day, and that's fine too. And if you're used to a certain situation that might scare someone else, that's fine, right? You are not scared and they are. But if you are scared, now you have a chance to be courageous. Yeah. And I got to give credit where credit's due. That's a guy by the name of Coach Tony Blauer. And it's his system that I choose to teach, because here's why. Mm-hmm. When, let's say, Crystal, when I help Crystal move more fully into your power, show up as yourself, no matter what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But if it's a business meeting, if it's just going out, if it's just being home and, you know, showing up for yourself, all of these things, I'm not teaching you techniques. It looks like I am, mm-hmm. but I'm not really teaching you techniques. All I'm doing is connecting you with the survival machine that is yourself, because we are all human weapons, for lack of a better term. Some people don't like that term, but it's true. Like we are all built for survival, and we've been domesticated.
Definitely.
Hate to say it, but it's, you know, it's true. We come with all the tools that we need. And it's much more efficient and effective to reconnect you with what you already have than teach you and perhaps burden you, mm-hmm. with a whole bunch of things that perhaps you don't need. And if you're really nutty about martial arts and combat sports like I am, it's a lot of fun to learn different styles and learn the histories and all of these things. But the fact is, real violence, meaning non-consensual violence, mm-hmm. non-consensual fight, has very little to do with a sport, and it has very little to do with an art. All we're trying to do is get you home safely. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's pretty simple. And guess what? You show up with everything that you need for that.
Like, is it learning different? Like, do you teach different steps to take, like to defend yourself, or just the point is to just get away, get out of that situation, or is it both?
Right. And the answer to your question is, drum roll, what's the scenario? Mm. Because okay. I can't. Yeah.
I got
I can't. I'm okay,
ready.
Go for it.
I got 6,000. I'm ready.
Do it.
Okay. How about, since I feel like sex trafficking is huge and I live in quite a big area, when grocery shopping, especially if you have a child maybe with you and you're alone. So maybe that scenario. And like, how do you deal with that? And how do you get away? Especially when you're in the parking lot, sometimes alone, or even just being stalked inside is really, I get chills just asking this question. But I think that this is a major one that's actually happening in my area right now.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for asking. that highlights something huge. And this is going to sound like I am anti-martial arts, and I'm not. I am myself a martial artist, but whatever we learn for our own self-protection, it has to work. It must work in sneakers and jeans at the store. It has to work in sneakers and jeans at the store with shopping in your hands. It has to work with a little one at your side, or two of the little ones at your side. It absolutely has to work in a cocktail dress in high heels. It has to work in a swimsuit. Otherwise, why are we doing this? It has to work in the car. There is no, you know, putting in a mouthpiece and good-naturedly touching gloves with someone, nodding at the referee and going at it. Now, in that sport that I just described, there may be some conditioning and some techniques that are good to have. And if you want to put in the reps and the time, by all means do it, because the payoff can be huge. But do you see how that's different? Putting in a mouthpiece, you know, I know what's happening. There's consent from both parties.
Yeah.
Which is completely different than what I call real violence, which means non-consensual violence, where you don't know it's coming. There is no consent. It's the bad guy that controls, frankly, everything.
Everything.
Except you. I mean, you control yourself, and that's why you are the human weapon. So with the question, like, what do? Let's say from the grocery store out to the parking lot, conventional wisdom says, if a bad guy wants your property, just give him the property. It's not worth your life. It's not worth going to the hospital. You know, just, hey, you want the car? Take the car. Mm-hmm. Now, here's another quote from my mentor: be careful what you practice, you might get really good at the wrong thing. So if you tell yourself again and again and again, hey, just take the car, that's the answer. Well, okay, what if the kids are in the car?
Very true.
And that goes back to your question. So I'm just an options facilitator. I'm not going to tell you to fight for the car or not. But I am telling you that if you wish to go home safe and your loved ones to go home safe, then you are your own first responder, and you are nobody else. You are in charge of getting you and them home safe. Mm-hmm. The first responders that we call them are actually the second responders, because in your fight, you know, you are point, as a military person might say. So if the kids are in the car, and somebody wants the car, now we're not talking about property. We're talking about body and life. And that's a completely different conversation.
Yeah.
So what I do teach is a mental model or three that help you navigate that. So in the moment when you feel like a 15-year-old boy in the woods and your friend got hurt and you don't know what to do, you're using fear as fuel, as that energy to essentially face what's happening. Understand it, make a decision, and move. And depending on the situation, that decision might be, for instance, here's just a quick story. A student of mine is running through Athens, Greece, just jogging. And she does this quite a bit. And then one day she got a bad feeling. And she's looking around. Nothing really makes sense, but she's looking for the smartest thing to do. Because if you are the human weapon system, then you've got all these sensors, and you do. We call it instincts and intuition.
I have them.
Yep. And you're better at them than I am. And you don't have to prove yourself right. That, oh, that's why I feel that way. Now I'm giving myself permission to move. No, you get that feeling, you move. But that doesn't mean be brainless about it, you know. Figure out what's probably the safest thing to do and go. That doesn't mean you have to know why you feel that way. Incidentally, she's looking around going, gee, why do I feel this way? And then she turns a corner and, you know, maybe these guys, 9 times out of 10, you know, none of these guys meant you know, didn't mean her ill or anything like that, but it was like out of a movie. She said, like, there's a bunch of guys drinking, half of them have their shirts off, and they, you know, they turn and look her up and down and then look at each other and look back at her. And she's like, oh, well, that'll do it. And she just turned around and ran back. I mean, she was working out. She was just running.
Right.
Checked over her shoulder a couple of times, changed, you know, changed the side of the street she was on. She's fine. I mean, she didn't even have the opportunity to be scared. And the reason is she realized she was in the fight before there was a fight. Because you don't get points for cool ninja moves. You don't get points for pulling off that cool move that you insisted that I teach you, that I've got tons and a lot of them are a lot of fun. You don't get points for doing that. You get points for going home safe, period.
And I have to say that right there has probably saved my life in a lot of case scenarios, having domestic abuse with my father when I was just like a young child, to I had one boyfriend when I was in, gosh, my late teens, like 19, who had come after me. And I had learned, unfortunately, from what my father had done, how to handle that case scenario with what was happening. Not that it was perfect, not that I didn't get hurt, but I could have got, it could have been a lot worse. But I have this like sense, and my husband swears by it nonetheless, because we don't question it anymore. And I think that's also what saves me, is I stopped questioning whether I was right or wrong, because that didn't matter. It was that I was getting this feeling and I needed to remove myself, whether it was from certain environments that I was in or parties. I mean, I used to be a young girl that was going to parties and stuff all the time. So that was super kicked in a lot of scenarios, or when I was always like, I was a going out girl. So that was my number one, especially when, you know, alcohol is involved and you never want to get too far and you got to protect your drink. You know, there's so many different things now that we have to do in that sense too. But I have to say, tapping into my intuition and really truly feeling it's, and maybe I can see it now, it's just that truly has saved me. If you feel like someone's looking at you for too long, you just get it. Like, there's this like uncomfortable sense that I get. And I have seen women be followed in grocery stores, like to the point where I'm following them to make sure that they're okay. And I'm not trying to pull out any, you know, anything other than like my phone, but you know, you make a very good point too, that we are our own first responders, because a lot of people think that you can pick up the phone and call 911 and poof, magic, they are here to save the day. And that's just not the realization of what's going on, especially with more, you know, home invasions that are happening. There's a lot more like downtown Chicago, your car is being, you know, jacked. And there was an 11-year-old that was jacking cars like in downtown Chicago with a gun. So like, you know, what do you do, especially in that case scenario? And a lot of people will just like give it up, but some people will battle and have lost their lives to the battle of wanting to keep their vehicle. There's an app. I get it. I get the whole list. It's called the Citizen app, and it actually lists things that are going around in the area. So I can say, okay, well, there's.
So you can see trends. Nice.
Trends, gunshots, just, you know, it'll show that gunshots went off 16 miles away, not going there, not going that direction. And there was, you know, although this is probably a serious situation, but kind of funny, there was a group of women chasing a man with bats. I'm assuming he was like a Tinder date, allegedly, I don't know, but it was really funny to hear it come over and like the police talking about it.
Oh, that's
we got a group of women coming down with baseball bats. But nonetheless, instinct has saved me in so many different ways. But what people forget to do is to trust themselves. And remember, you don't have to be right or wrong. So what, nothing happened and you made it home safe. Consider that a win. Consider that that's where you were supposed to be. You were supposed to be home during that time frame. For me, I definitely felt like I always needed at least like a few moves.
Yeah.
But again, I would love for you to, you know, teach us all the moves as well. But I have to say that has saved me the most, hands down.
Absolutely. So, So I can tell you want a move. So here's.
Oh, I want to move. I do.
A move. Okay. Okay. So we talked about detecting. We can call that detecting and avoiding, right? Mm-hmm. And you are the instrument. So you trust yourself. You trust that feeling. You don't have to prove yourself right or wrong. It really doesn't matter. You just go home safe and you call it good. Now, sometimes the pre-contact cues, is, as we call them, they're always there. That doesn't mean that we pick them up, let's say, mm-hmm. or maybe they're, you know, we're dealing with a lot. So there's a lot of, you know, emotional, mental white noise in our head. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we don't pick it up, you know, soon enough. So based off what I just said, if you get that feeling, you know, you're in the fight, that the fight isn't the fight. The fight is that you want to win is the fight before the fight. Right. But suddenly there's a person right in front of you. They're obviously a threat. And you're like, I did not want it to get this far. In fact, I didn't really realize I was in a fight, but here I am. Mm-hmm. What can I do? So here's a cool ninja move. Secret is there's no cool ninja move. There's no such thing. But
here's over here like, yes.
Oh boy.
My husband's going to be so impressed.
No, it all depends on the scenario. But here we go. Before we physically defend ourselves, because that's dangerous, mm-hmm. it really is, we would like to have some other options. So diffusing, like you diffuse a bomb, diffusing the situation, de-escalating the situation is huge. Mm-hmm. First of all, how are you going to de-escalate someone else if you can't de-escalate yourself? All right, so you've got to be responsible. You've got to know yourself. Mm-hmm. Again, trust your instincts and intuition. And then second, what is this person after? It's all about the scenario. Let's say you're at an ATM. You're just getting cash. Maybe you had a bad feeling and you couldn't figure it out. And you've already got your, you know, you're already there. And you're like, well, this will only take a second. Your card's in the machine. And then there's somebody behind you. And then out of the corner of your eye, you note that they're communicating with someone over there, and you glance over there and they're both looking at you and looking at each other, and you realize they're working together. This doesn't feel good. Mm-mm. Now you're at an ATM. You can make an assumption about what they're after, right? Unless a big panel van suddenly pulls up with the door open, right? You know, that's a different scenario. But if they're just there, you're thinking, you know, did I wear my jewelry? You know what, you know, but also I'm at the ATM. So I can make an assumption about what they're after. Mm-hmm. Here's a move for you. Hit cancel. Kick that machine, hit the machine with your hand, yell at it. And at the top of your lungs, say something to the effect of, not again, again, he took everything.
That is so good.
I want you to jump up and down. All right. Keep your hands kind of in front of your face between you and them, but don't threaten them. That's a bad mm-hmm. idea. You should never look threatening unless you think that will make you safer. But you can look crazy. He took everything. I can't believe it. Ah, if there's a trash can nearby, maybe pick that up and throw it against the wall. Whatever. Worst case, you read it wrong. These people aren't after you or your money. They just think you're a crazy person. And you walk away, you find a safe ATM, mm-hmm. and you take your money. It's got to give credit where credit's due. That's right out of the mm-hmm. system that I teach. And that's called the spear system. So I got to quote my source. That has probably resulted in more go home safe stories than anything else, because the other ones tend not to be so much stories. They're more like, do you think I was right? I had a bad feeling and I did this. And we're like, good job. It doesn't matter if you're right. You know, but what I just described is a really good story. And
that's actually a good one.
A lot. Yeah. Figure out what they're after and take that away. The art of war. Sun Tzu, as he said, first you win the battle and then you move.
I like how you put it in this perspective, because I've obviously been in a lot of different conversations of, oh, this made me feel weird, or I had to handle this, or I'm a true crime watcher. That's like the new age. Like, right, right. I am hands down, I watch true crime almost daily. Okay. And there's a lot of things I think that we watch for to learn from in a sense, but this is a really good one. And it actually triggered me to think about a time that I was in Indiana and I was with my husband, and I feel like I'm more on alert than what he is, like just in life period. Just like, I'm like that guy's like, I can just read people. But I had this like feeling of someone behind us. So he would always be like further away from the ATM when we would pull up. And I'm like, no, like make sure that there's no room for like a body and that can get in as well. And then they have like those posts. So I would get as close to those posts as possible, look around and then go into the ATM because because of stories. So you hear one story and you're like, this could apply. And I just want to, you know, I guess, absolutely. I don't know if you call it be prepared, but take the steps to just get what I need done and then move along. But that's a really good one. And looking crazy, I had a boss and she said, if you ever feel uncomfortable, she goes, or that like men are coming, like just like walking in your direction. She goes, just start acting crazy. She's like, start scratching yourself and like, just like be really just like you're out of your mind, because she's like, I guarantee you they'll just keep walking. And that blew my mind. I've never had to fully do that. Now I've had to definitely do like intimidation where I've had to inside. I was like a screaming little girl, like, oh my gosh, like what is going to happen? I would have to say this was really playing into my ex. He was just like, I think it was just like a hidden, like he hid it for a long time that he was an abuser. Mm-hmm. And because he had never showed signs, but again, manipulation is great. And he had come after me one night. It was like our second weekend of moving in together. And he comes after me and I'll never forget, because he had like wrapped a cord around me. He had thrown me into the table and I had gotten up and I knew I needed to run. And he was a huge football player. So I just knew I needed to get out. He met me around to the door and I am not small. I've never been like small, but he picked me up and threw me against the door where I had just like bruises everywhere. But I had to like run into the bedroom. I'm only laughing just because it's just so shocking that I had to go through it. But then calling, like he was pretending outside of the room to call 911 on me and tell them that she hit me, da da da. He was never even on the phone with 911. That's how manipulative he was. But I sure was. And I said, and he's about to bust down my door. And then he ran. And if I didn't say that really, really loud, I don't know if I would be here right now, to be honest. He stalked me for months. I had to be walked out to my car. I had suicide notes. I had his new keys to his apartment and everything. I had loss prevention walking me out to my car every night. And he still found me at a friend's house that he never knew, because he was following my car at night because I was getting out, but he was parking in different areas. Or he'd call and be like, is Crystal there? And they'd be like, no, she's not in today. And he's like, I can see her. She's right there. That's how crazy it was for me and why, like, this is such a topic that resonates with me at such a young age that, you know, that could have gone very left. I had to almost play into the game, get somewhere safe, play into the game, and then finally reach out and get, you know, police over and everything like that. So I think that's a really good idea. And I know like a lot of women are also being picked up to go be taken to different ATMs and stuff like that too. So there's a lot of different scenarios. I like how you say that you give options, because the scenario does change to whom you're around, where you're at, like all of those things.
Right.
So I like that you put it in that perspective.
Thank you so much for sharing there. I'm guessing that nothing that you did to go home safe in any of those scenarios that you just described was something that you learned in a classroom.
No. And I wasn't trying to fight him. I knew I just needed to get
right.
Like, I knew I needed to get out. There was no winning. And we were alone.
Here's the thing. You, Crystal, are a survival machine. And that's something that unites all of us humans. And there are psychological, physiological things and physical things that we're born with that I don't have time to go into. Otherwise, we'd have a mini seminar. But I mean, we are born to adapt. We're born to survive. And your ancestors did. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So they knew when to run. They knew when to fight. They knew when to fight and run and fight. I mean, there's no two ways about it. The thing that really frustrates me, and maybe it's my background and I am biased because I came up through multiple martial arts and going, well, this is good, but this is missing. And I'd search somewhere else and I'd search somewhere else. And I realized what I was really looking for was self-protection, not a martial art. Although I still study, but I realize now that they're different. And realizing also that the thing that happened to me in the woods, and frankly, that skill that, again, I didn't learn that in the classroom. Something went off, you know, a click, something happened. And it was later that I realized that this could be, I say taught, really facilitated, because we've all got this. We've got the tools. Like I said, you're a survival machine. But it was later on that I linked the two and said, wait a minute. Of course, I got discipline. I got all these good things from the sports and arts that I participated in, that I studied. But also, I used to call it riding the butterflies. Like, you get butterflies in your stomach.
Yeah.
And they're scrambling your insides and you're like, oh, I can't move. Well, guess what? There's energy there. You can get on top of one of those butterflies and ride it around. And that's what I used to say. It got me through the military academy. It got me through more than 20 years of military service. And along the way, I realized, wait a minute, this can be coached. This can be taught. There's a system, actually many systems, that mm-hmm. teach you exactly this. Getting back to the start of my ramble, what really gets me is that all of us are born with these tools, but not all of us make the connections. And I'm seeing videos of, I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, very recent, like 3 weeks ago, public schools where kids, young kids, teenagers, both aren't defending themselves. And I'm not victim blaming. Okay. And there's very little context in any of these videos either. But they're not defending themselves. It's not a fight, it's a beating. They're not defending themselves. And nobody around them is defending them.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't a podcast about, you know, school faculty and whatnot. And my dad was an elementary school principal. Like, I've heard it from both sides, and things mm-hmm. are getting more litigious, and that's a whole nother conversation. But the fact that you have to be your own first responder is true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. And what really eats me up is when I see a human weapon not connecting to this in the moment where, you know, this is a red light moment. Things are really bad. You just need to push away danger and get to safety, however you can go, but it's not happening. And then if the situation warrants, before something gets to that point, knowing what to do with those feelings. So you've got the classroom of life. You connected those dots. Got it. Right. Other people haven't. Mm-hmm. And they haven't, if they're lucky, depending on how you look at it, they haven't had it affect them because they haven't been attacked and taken advantage of. Nine times out of 10, you're going to be fine, really. But sometimes you're not. Where it does affect them is fear, anxiety, hesitation. Let's look at the businesswoman. Went to the meeting, went to the party, went to the after party. And now there's an after party. And she's got plenty of time to sleep in tomorrow. That's not an issue. Mm-hmm. What is an issue is she's looking at the people involved. She's looking at the location and she's going, can I trust these people? Yeah. What is the thing? And I'm not there to say go to the after party or not. That's not the point. The point is you need to show up as yourself, show up powerfully, and make a good decision, not because you're scared, mm-hmm. because you own it. And in business negotiations, in making relationships at those after parties, all of these things, so much more versatile, so much more real, so much more yourself, if you're owning all of what you are. And someone like you, like yourself, who's connected these dots, doesn't matter how you got there,
right,
is going to be better at that, you know, than someone who hasn't. But you can't reconstruct, you can't engineer what you went through. But with a program that resonates with you, mm-hmm. with a coach or coaches that resonates, that work with you well, you can get there.
Yeah.
And at some point I'd like to share a story about something that went physical, and it was one of my students, mm-hmm. because it's, all of this is coachable. All of this, you know, it works. And I think the world would be a better place. It's simple to say the world would be a better place if this was taught in school. Yeah, it can be, but it's very difficult to sell it. When people think of self-defense, they think of karate classes. And yes. Hey, if you're interested in karate, whatever age you are, if you're interested in a karate class, you should go. I'm telling you right here, you should go and enjoy it and learn and do all that. Definitely. Not everybody's interested. And even if you are, there are martial artists and combat sports athletes, professionals even, that go to self-protection coaches because they realize it's different.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, it's not the same thing. It's as simple as you're dealing with a consensual fight, or maybe even a consensual art or sport, versus a situation that's really scary, you don't see it coming, and you don't choose who's involved, how many people are involved, and what weapons they bring.
Yes, especially the weapon part. I mean, you drive down the Dan Ryan and your car can get shot at. I mean, and that's literally how easy people just have guns on them and are willing to fire.
Yeah. So really,
you can't punch a gun. You can't punch a bullet, you know?
No, but you can face it, understand it, make a good decision and move. Mm-hmm. And that's whether you are carrying a, you know, weapon of some sort or not. It really doesn't matter because you are the weapon.
Yeah, I think for me, I do have to say I've been worried about carrying the weapon and then the weapon turning around on me, you know, sure. Like somehow them getting the weapon. So I typically don't, obviously I have my pepper spray, but like I said, I know certain times a day of not to go to certain areas, especially typically me and my husband are always together, especially with like the area that we're near, and we're well aware of the stuff that goes on or what's capable. And I think that gives us that standpoint to where, like, I'm out and about during the sunlight. I know it's like dark at 5, but if I need groceries, I'm going at like noon on a Saturday. I don't care how busy it is. Right. I'm not going on a Tuesday at like midnight just because it's convenient. Because of
bingo. And look what you've, so you mentioned the app earlier. You're looking at trends, and that you have a baseline. You know what normal looks like, mm-hmm. and you're making decisions to stack the deck in your favor. And then, even if you do that, sure, something might happen, but because of what you've done, you now have more decision space.
Yeah.
So we're looking at this timeline of, I have a chance to detect and avoid.
Yes.
And you can educate yourself to do that. You can educate yourself on pre-contact cues. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, you know, you're shopping for a car. You didn't see that car, but now you're shopping for a car that looks like that. Now you see that car everywhere.
Everywhere.
It was there before. Same thing here. And it's not about being fearful. It's about facing it like your own fear. Face it. Understand it. Make a decision and move. So the more you know about this, then the more decision space you have. Because the worst, as my mentor says, the worst attack is the ambush. Like, the definition of an ambush is you don't see it coming. Mm-hmm. That's extremely dangerous. Most things, you can see it coming. Before that, you feel it.
Yeah.
You feel it coming, and then you hear it. You might smell it, and then you see it. Clock's ticking. You know, you've got all these opportunities to detect it, maybe diffuse and de-escalate it before things get really nasty. And is there a system? Yeah. Yeah, there sure is. And then push come to shove, mm-hmm. all that fails and you are defending yourself. Is there a system for that? Yes, there is. Let's say you are ambushed because, hey, as we say, some days you're the bug and some days you're the windshield, right? Murphy's Law, you got to be prepared for this. if you are surprised, truly surprised, you feel like you had no heads up, your body is already prepared for that. It does things to protect you without you even being trained to do it. And then how to move from that and the fear feeling that comes with it to something useful to move to safety. Are there systems for that too? Yep. And they work in cocktail dresses, backwards in high heels, swimsuits with the
kids.
That's
what we like to hear because we need options. We need
options. Has to be. Otherwise, and, it's not useful.
Right. It's not useful. It's not realistic for us to use. So yeah. I think that you have given us so many good things. And I already feel like I could be a ninja after this. I know. Okay. I got your secret sauce about the ATM and that trash can, better watch out when I'm done. So that's what I'm going to say. And I really enjoyed this conversation. Obviously it means the world to me just because of my past and experience and hearing yours as well. Now, what are you doing next? What do you have going on? And I know that you're also doing this for women, but do you have a spot on your website where they can go to hire you as well?
Sure do. If you go to www.readinessrx.com, just go to the show notes, click on contact me in there. That's the simplest thing to do. Same handle on Instagram, readinessrx, RX like prescription, readinessrx on Instagram. Go on there, follow me, and tell you what, for this podcast, if you just hit me the word list, LIST, a helpful 7 secrets of executive protection. It's like how to be your own bodyguard, basically.
Thank you.
No problem. But you, I'm kind of busy. So even you, Crystal, you have to hit me with the word list. Otherwise I won't remember. So you gotta help me out there. Some other things we have going on. If you hit me with that word list, I'll let your listeners know about a closed network because we like personal security. It's kind of like Facebook, but it doesn't steal your info. It doesn't have ads. It's a network that we own and it's just full of stuff like this.
Yeah.
And it's got a free tier full of mini articles and videos and things like that that just a nice daily reminder. It's on an app that's on your phone. Daily reminder of all these safer sooner tips, tricks, and techniques. And for those with, let's say, especially teenage daughters or kids going off to college, what I described, those things that weren't really fights, they were more like beatings. And by the way, both of them that I saw were female on female.
Wow.
I mean, not that alone, but just the fact that nobody was intervening and then female on female. And it was really disturbing. And I saw those 3 weeks ago. At that point, I said, okay, I'm not doing enough. So I am putting together Zoom-based classes, simple one-off 2 hours. They're based off similar programs that have, believe it or not, I was more surprised than anyone else, believe it or not, effective, even though they're over Zoom. So to include I talked about detect and avoid, diffuse and de-escalate, but including defend and move to safety. Hard to describe, but trust me, you want this life extension insurance if you can get it. And preferably before you prove to yourself that you actually need it. It'd be nice to get it in advance. So the network that I described is a bulletin board for those. And no secret password like list, but if anybody is interested in that, just write me and ask, because those are coming. I was quite disturbed by what I saw. So I'm trying to do my part to fix it.
I'm so, so glad. And I'm going to put down below the word list too, so everyone has a reminder to reach out to you. So thank you so much for that. And I'm glad that you're stepping into this because I had to make sure I got off of that side of TikTok, you know, because I was seeing it so much and it would just create this angst in me because, you know, it was turning on that mode a lot. So I did have to like step away from that side of TikTok per se, we'll call it that way. So I'm glad that you're doing this and stepping in. I just want to tell everyone, go like, subscribe, please hire Joe, because this is something that you can get prepared way before and start trusting yourself, like live and make decisions for you and that are best for you. And thank you so much, Joe, for coming on. This was such a great episode, and I just want to thank you along with everyone else. I will see you next week with a brand new episode and a brand new guest. So
thank you, Crystal. I really appreciate it.